Education Committee will be starting immediately in the Senate chamber. Education Committee immediately, Senate chamber.
We'll go ahead and convene the Senate Education Committee. Roll is being taken silently. Any senators absent will be excused until they arrive. You all received the minutes of the previous meeting electronically. If there are no corrections or additions to those minutes, they will stand approved as submitted. Seeing none, those minutes stand approved as submitted. We will be taking a brief caucus. Republicans will meet in room 22. Democrats will be in 116, and we'll be back here shortly. We'll call the Senate Education Committee meeting back to order. We are going to switch up the agenda just a bit. We are removing Senate File 168 and Senate File 304 from the agenda, as they have a couple of issues, and we want to make sure that they're right before we take them up. We want to make sure it's the right route to go. So that leaves, we will begin with Senate Study Bill 1205 and then do the remaining bills in the order that they are on. So at this time, I would turn over the chair to Senator Knoyer for Senate Study Bill 1205.
Thank you, Senator Sinclair. I will now call up Senate Study Bill 1205. Senator Sinclair, do you have a subcommittee report?
Your subcommittee of myself, Senator Taylor, and Senator Quernbach recommend passage with myself and Senator Taylor signing.
Senator Sinclair, you are in order for opening remarks on Senate Study Bill 1205.
Thank you. Senate Study Bill 1205 is a bill that relates to the protection of free speech and other First Amendment rights at our universities. The bill does the following items: requires public institutions of higher education to develop materials, programs, and procedures to ensure that those persons responsible for discipline, instruction, or administration of the campus community, or who have oversight over student government organizations or distribute activity fee funds, understand policies, regulations, and duties of the institution regarding free expression. Prohibits retaliation against a member of campus community who files a complaint under this section. It requires a disciplinary hearing if a faculty member knowingly and intentionally restricts protected speech. Requires First Amendment training for members of student government. Requires schools providing mandatory training for staff or students to ensure the training does not include race or sex stereotyping. Provides that the State Board of Regents shall make a student government organization's access to and authority over any monies dispersed by the student organization by the institution contingent upon the student government organization's compliance with the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States and the provisions of this chapter. Creates a nonpartisan free speech committee within the Board of Regents, and rather it actually codifies the committee that's already been formed. It allows the Board of Educational Examiners to deny a license or revoke a license if the board finds that a person discriminated against a student and their First Amendment rights. Requires school districts to establish policies that protect students and faculty from discrimination based on political bias, and it requires K-12 school districts to ensure race and sex stereotyping are not included in mandatory trainings for staff and students. This concludes my opening comments on the bill, and there is an amendment of issues that came out of the subcommittee, and if I could, Madam Chair, I would like to go to that amendment.
Senator Sinclair, you're in order for opening remarks on your amendment.
Thank you. During the process of the subcommittee and subsequently with different members of this body, we determined that there were several items that could be addressed to make this bill a better bill and to really protect all First Amendment rights for folks, both staff and students. And so we came up with an amendment that does several of the following provisions, and I can get you more details as time allows, if you like. It strikes the listing of references and instead just references the federal and state civil rights codes. It strikes the definition of any other form of race or sex stereotyping or scapegoating from the definition of divisive comments as a way to not leave that so open-ended that we curtail First Amendment rights of those instructors as well. It adds language from the Iowa Department of Education to address a separation of powers concerns with court-adjudicated issues related to mandatory trainings. It changes the two-year suspension for student government's ability to manage their activity fees to 1 year, as that student government body changes regularly, and we don't want to punish a subsequent year of student government for the actions of a previous year. And finally, it adds in much of the language from Senate File 238 that provides protections for a school employee or official so that they won't be dismissed or suspended or disciplined related to school newspapers and the functions of students on the school newspaper. So that concludes my opening comments on the amendment, and I would be open to any discussion.
Is there any discussion on the amendment? Senator Quernbach, you're in order.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. I rise in support of the amendment. I appreciate working with Senator Sinclair on a number of different provisions here. The one that's most important to me, and this involves alterations to the bill on pages 4, 5, and 7, by including very specific reference to Chapter 216 of the Iowa Code. Chapter 216 of the Iowa Code is the Iowa Civil Rights Act, and that includes prohibitions on discrimination against a wide variety of characteristics. As the bill was originally written, it only listed color, race, ethnicity, and sex. But the full list protected under Iowa Code includes color, race, ethnicity, sex, creed, sexual orientation, gender identity, national origin, religion, disability, familial status, marital status, and age. So I appreciate the fact that by including the specific reference to Code Chapter 216, what we are doing here is acknowledging that all of these different forms of discrimination, not just the four listed in the original bill, all of these forms of discrimination are prohibited, and that universities must mandate to their employees that they obey the law, and that students be counseled to obey the law as well. So I think that definitely is an improvement. The other things here about such things as limiting the penalty on a student organization to 1 year is an improvement. I would have preferred something even less prescriptive and allow the various university administration personnel to make the punishment fit the crime. But certainly 1 year is better than two. So I'm hoping that everybody can support the amendment and move it on.
Is there any other discussion on the amendment? Seeing none, the chair recognizes Senator Sinclair for closing remarks on the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just move the amendment.
Senator Sinclair moves the amendment. All in favor, vote aye. All opposed, vote no. The amendment passes. We're back on the bill. Is there any other discussion on the bill as amended? Senator Kornbach, you're in order.
Point of information, is this the only amendment?
Yes, Senator, this is the only amendment.
Thank you. I know that other ideas were discussed. I appreciate your clarifying that. I'm going to support the bill. It does not, it's very important to me to point out, it does not affect what is taught in the classroom, what subjects can be discussed, what points of view can be discussed. In fact, quite the opposite, it protects students and faculty, their freedom of speech, their freedom of inquiry, their freedom of political points of view or other points of view. It does not restrict anything in the way of what goes on in the classroom, or for that matter, the research that faculty may do on related topics, which I think research is often quite important in helping us to understand the basis for discrimination, racism, and so forth. What I don't want to have happen in our training of our campus police officers, our administrators, our advisors of student organization, what I don't want to have happen are the things that are prohibited in the list on page 3. I don't want it, the training of these people, to involve any kind of notion that one race or sex is inherently superior to another race or sex. That is absolutely abhorrent to me, always is, always will be, should never be part of the instruction and training of any officer. In fact, we want to promote training that is sensitive to matters of race and that treats people as individuals according to their individual characteristic. I don't want, for example, any training to say that an individual, by virtue of that individual's race or sex, is inherently racist, sexist, or oppressive. I don't want that training to say that an individual should be discriminated against or receive adverse treatment solely or partly because of the individual's race or sex. All right? That's all state law. That is already state law, but we need to implement that state law, and we need to implement that state law through appropriate training. You don't want people to be trained to the opposite of what the state law and beyond the state law, what I think our basic value system says. I won't go through the whole list. You can read through the whole list there. I can't imagine anyone of good conscience saying that any of the things prohibited here should be allowed as part of the training of campus police or of university administrators or people advising student clubs. I can't imagine that anybody would want any of these odious concepts to be taught and trained to the people exercising the authority of running the institution, advising clubs, enforcing campus rules and regulations. So thank you.
Senator Trone Garrett, you're in order.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to ask Senator Sinclair to yield to a question.
Senator Sinclair, will you yield for a question?
Certainly.
Thank you, Senator. Could you clarify for me by what entity and by what process K through 12 employees and faculty are determined to be knowingly and intentionally restricting the protected speech of a student?
So there's a process already in place to file a complaint with the Board of Educational Examiners, and this includes any of the described discrimination as an item that would rise to the level of the Educator's Code of Ethics through the Board of Educational Examiners, and this would trigger a disciplinary review from the Board of Educational Examiners if an affected party filed a complaint.
Just to be clear, then through that process, if the Board of Educational Examiners determined that the complaint was valid, knowingly and intentionally restricting the protected speech of a student, then that individual would lose their license?
That would be up to the Board of Educational Examiners to make that determination. They have varying levels of disciplinary action. They could have a suspension. They could have I believe they can censure an educator, or they could, if it's egregious enough, they could have their license removed.
That's a concern for me in this piece of legislation, is how do you determine intent of an individual through a process like that? Thank you.
Senator Taylor, you're in order.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to rise in support of this bill. I think this does a lot of very useful and important things. To me, the extending or clarifying or specifying that students, whether at the K through 12 level or at the college level, have free speech rights, freedom of expression, whether it's written or spoken, that they don't give those up when they come into the classroom, I think that's very, very helpful. And I think that's true whether, at the college level, maybe a student is in the minority as somebody who's a conservative Republican, and the teacher in the classroom is coming from a more progressive point of view. There's a very large power differential between teachers who have the power of assigning grades and the students. And I think it works the exact same way if you have a teacher who's coming from a conservative Republican point of view and there's somebody who is maybe in the minority having a more progressive point of view. They should not be discriminated against. And no teacher should use their position to try to silence or harm a student because they disagree with their politics. I also want to mention, as a member of the subcommittee that approved this bill, there were some concerns raised that perhaps diversity training, diversity education, there might be a chilling effect on the teaching of slavery, teaching of racism, teaching about discrimination against women or African Americans or other people in American history. And I would say, as an educator myself, as a university professor, I would not support this bill if that was the intent or I thought that was going to be the outcome of this bill. I believe in academic freedom. And I feel that this is very narrowly crafted when we say that schools who teach about have mandatory training and education about discrimination, about prejudice, that they do not include race or sex stereotyping as they do it. And they should not be including that. And I agree 100% with what my colleague, Senator Kornbuck, had to say. Discrimination, prejudice, treating people of all of one group all in the same category, literally prejudging who they are, what they are, what they think, how they're going to act based upon group identity. To me, that's not only is it illogical, not only is it not intelligent to do that, but it's very harmful in our society. And we're just going to have more and more division when we continue to stereotype and prejudge people. So whether it's racism, sexism, no matter who it's directed at, it's wrong. And so I think this bill does a lot of good things, and I hope my colleagues will support it. Thank you.
Seeing no other discussion, Senator Sinclair, you're in order for closing remarks on Senate Study Bill 1205 as amended.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I could dive into all of the things that I believe are good and right about this bill, but I will save that for later because I think my colleagues both said it very well. I do just want to address the one concern that was brought up from Senator Trone-Garriott regarding the loss of license. That process will be the same for any violation of the code of ethics that educators are held to. It's the same disciplinary process with the same due process. And I would venture to say that when we're talking about our First Amendment rights, we're talking about rights of individuals that are inherent to their being and are protected by the United States Constitution as well as state and federal law and case law since all of history. And I would suggest that an educator in a position of authority over a child should not have the right to violate what is inherent to that child, and that is their beliefs and values and their ability to express those. And so I do believe that a staunch, stern disciplinary action is available when those situations are the most egregious. And I think that having that neutral body, that Board of Educational Examiners, be the arbiter for that, I think is the way to determine whether it rises to the level of being that egregious. So with that, I would just move Senate Study Bill 1205 as amended and ask for your support.
Senator Trone-Garriott, how would you like to vote? Or Senator Kornbach. Okay, let's see. Short form has been called. All in favor, vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, vote no. The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. Senate Study Bill 1205 as amended moves to the calendar as, you want to be recorded as a no vote? Senator Giddens votes no. Senator Jay Smith votes no. Senator Trone-Garriott votes no. Senator Selsey votes no. Senate Study Bill 1205 as amended moves to the calendar as a committee bill under Rule 40, and I will now return the chair back to Senator Sinclair.
Thank you, Senator Knoyer. As I said, we've removed Senate File 168 and Senate File 304 from today's agenda just to make sure that those are moving properly. But we do have before us up next is Senate File 328 with Senator Zahn. Senator Zahn, do you have a subcommittee report?
Yes, I do, Madam Chair. I'll find it here. Myself and Senator Goodwin signed this, and I wasn't really sure about Senator Trone-Garriott, but that's what the subcommittee, if you want to be added to it. Oh, okay, then I apologize, and I'll bring this over. So the three of us did sign, and we recommend passage.
Thank you, Senator. You're in order for opening comments.
Well, this is a bill that was passed through the full Senate last year. It was in the process of being passed in the House, but because of the COVID, it did not survive and get sent to the governor. What this bill does is it adds occupational therapist to the definition of a licensed health care provider for the purpose of the state law regarding concussions and brain injury policies for extracurricular interscholastic activities. That'll end my opening comments.
Thank you, Senator Zahn. Is there further conversation on Senate File 328? Senator Trone-Garriott, you are in order.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just to clarify, I did agree that I would sign it. I have not technically signed it yet, so we'll have to do that. But I asked the committee to consider the possibility of an amendment to also include doctor in psychology with specialty training in neuropsychology or concussion management. And I will forward a letter that we were told we would receive Specifically, that issue was presented by a neuropsychologist who works at Blank Children's Hospital, specifically in the concussion unit, and wanted to be included in that list. So just to consider that as a possibility, I do support this bill.
Thank you, Senator Trongaria, and I'm sure that Senator Zahn will be happy to receive your email. Seeing no further discussion, Senator Zahn, you're in order for closing comments on Senate File 328.
Well, actually, Senator Trongaria, there must have been some kind of confusion, and you might have gotten that email. So at this time, I'm not going to recommend an amendment, but I think it's good legislation. I'd be very happy if we could get everyone to support this. Thank you.
Senator Zahn moves Senate File 328. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. The ayes have it. Senate File 328 will be placed on the calendar as a committee bill under Rule 40. Up next we have, House File 196 with Senator Knoyer. Senator Knoyer, do you have a subcommittee report? Senator Knoyer, would you like me to? Oh, you got it.
No.
Excellent.
I got it. Thank you, Madam Chair. The subcommittee that consisted of myself, Senator Kreienbrink, and Senator Kornbach recommend passage with a potential amendment with myself and Senator Kreienbrink signing.
Thank you, Senator Knoyer. You're in order for opening comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House File 196 expands the healthcare professional recruitment program to include health professionals who graduate from and are recruited by eligible institutions to practice in an eligible rural community in the state that matches state funds for educational loan repayment for the healthcare professional. We will be filing an amendment on the floor that to include athletic trainers and occupational therapists, and I wanted to add that the eligible institution is defined in the bill as a Regent University or accredited private institution, and healthcare professional is defined in the statute to mean physician, physician assistant, podiatrist, or physical therapist. That concludes my opening remarks.
Thank you, Senator. Is there further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, Senator Knoyer, you're in order for closing comments.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move the bill.
Senator Knoyer moves House File 196. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. The bill passes and will be placed on the calendar. And that brings us to, let's see, Senate Study Bill 1192. Senator Taylor, do you?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I do have a bill. Senate Study Bill 1192 was approved by a subcommittee consisting of myself, Senator Kreienbrink, and Senator Smith of Woodbury County. And we all signed on to that bill. And yes, and that's the bill that we have here today.
Thank you, Senator. You're in order for opening comments.
Thank you. So this is a bill that allows a school district or accredited non-public school to use an online learning platform that meets the requirements of Iowa code to deliver the regular school day coursework for up to 5 school days when inclement weather causes them to temporarily close school during the regular school calendar. So essentially, this is an online education bill linked to snow days and other days in which school in the past would have just been canceled, and those days would have had to have been made up, you know, at the end of the year. And the thinking behind this is that because we've become so familiar during the past year with using Zoom and other online platforms, we have that in place, we have the experience, we have the infrastructure, so why don't we go ahead and do that? And that's going to conclude the opening remarks that I have on this bill.
Is there further discussion on Senate Study Bill 1192? Seeing none, Senator, you're in order for closing comments. Senator, I'm so sorry, Senator Smith, you are in order.
Sure. I will say that schools are getting ready to do their calendar, so they appreciate the timing of this bill so they can build dates, snow days into their schedule. And I guess that's about it. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Smith. Seeing no further discussion now, Senator
Taylor, you're in order for closing comments.
Thank you. I simply move the bill.
Senator Taylor moves Senate Study Bill 1192. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. The ayes have it. Senate Study Bill 1192 will be placed on the calendar as a committee bill. That concludes, I believe, concludes the business before us today. And so we will be trying to get any additional subcommittees. So if you have subcommittees that you need to run that you would like in this committee next week, please get those scheduled and put together so that we can have our final committee before funnel next week and get all the work out before us. Seeing no additional business before the committee, Senator Zahn moves we adjourn.